The words were true in every sense. It was my aunt calling about my grandmother, Mary, who had wandered away from the house she shared with my grandpa. She was lost in that she went for one of her many daily walks around the neighborhood streets lined with huge oak trees, no doubt looking forward to yard sales, to rummaging around in shoeboxes full of old jewelry, looking for missing rhinestones and a brooch, haggling that brooch down to a dollar. These leisurely walks were a weekly ritual, but this time she didn't come home. Lunch came. Grandpa sat at the round kitchen table in the kitchen and looked out the window, wondering, where is Mary? Should he call someone? Well, maybe she was just talking to one of the new mothers, peering into the stroller at the baby and lost track of time. He laid down for a short snooze. Surely when he woke up, she would be back. But when he woke up, it was after 3 o'clock, and he pulled himself up the stairs with the banister, and checked into both bedrooms, but no Mary. He looked out the back windows into the yard, but she wasn't there either. He even yelled down the basement steps, but she wasn't home. Grandpa called the three daughters called the 15 grandchildren, and soon cars were patrolling the neighborhood slowly, yelling, "Mary! Mary!" We checked with everyone who was packing up a garage sale. "Have you seen our Mary?" Everyone knew her. "Our Mary is lost." Finally, there was a knock on the door, a police officer wearing a sad smile. Our Mary standing sheepishly behind him, mixed up and embarrassed and exhausted. The family patrols were called off, but the daughters of Mary held a summit. Mary was lost, and we were losing her. Perhaps the doctors were right. Perhaps she had that D word, dementia. They were all thinking it, but no one wanted to say it out loud, as if the words would turn into an incantation that would manifest in Mary's mind. Well, incantation or not, dementia was manifest. And soon the sunny kitchen and the backyard were traded for an assisted living facility, a bleach-scented place where Mary couldn't wander off because the door was locked. A beautifully landscaped place that she could see only from the window of her little room. Still, she was lost. She was confused by these new surroundings, by the smiling, friendly nurses' aides of many shades of color and many accents from all over the world. Who are these people? She was confused by the communal meals in the dining room. Why would someone make food so bland? Is this some kind of a home ec school? We tried to help Mary find herself in her unfamiliar location and the unfamiliar landscape of her own mind. We flipped through photo albums. "Look, Mom, remember when you had tea at Christmas time at the governor's mansion? Remember when you bought Janet a pet duck? Remember, remember, please remember." "I want to go home," she would say with uncharacteristic sourness. "I've had enough of this, and I would like to go home." We had all had enough of this. This desert deprived of any memory. Soon she didn't know who we were, even her daughters, even her husband of 78 years. Soon she couldn't feed herself or remember how to push a button through a buttonhole. She was frightened most of the time. What kind of hell was this? Certainly, soon she would be free. Soon she would die. Is it wrong to pray for someone's death when they're suffering so much? But her body plodded on. See, there was nothing wrong with her except her mind. And so we all plodded on. I visited the memory care unit every Sunday after church. On Sundays, Grandpa and I would spread the big newspaper out on the old oak dining table in the library, and we would read while Grandma dozed in a rocking chair, her hand in mine. Between naps, she would look around and hum to herself and trace circles on my palm with her thumb. maybe opening her eyes to say, "Well, hello there," with no trace of recognition. If she had had a stroke and died, we would have grieved. We would have wailed and wept and missed her so bad it would feel like someone had punched us right in the gut. But we couldn't grieve and heal because her body was still with us. Instead, dementia took her one tiny piece at a time, so that grief stretched over 13 years. Why? How could the universe be so cruel? We half-jokingly asked if we had somehow angered the gods, if this was like Moses' 7 plagues on Egypt. Because dementia feels epic in scope, like an unending Greek tragedy playing out in a modern memory care unit. But I hear that even the desert blossoms once in a while, plumes of yellow and red breaking through spiky green leaves and endless tan dust to raise a fist of bright resistance at the sky. Even in the desert, abundance, which is our theme for September, abundance can be found in the shocking colors of flora that refuse to surrender to the life taking away the lack of life-renewing rain. One day, sitting with my grandmother, she woke up and, particularly bright-eyed, asked me my name. Well, I told her, and she asked me what games I liked. An unexpected question. After a few moments had passed, I realized that my grandmother was a little girl in her mind, bright eyes giving away a youthful enthusiasm that I had never seen before, an incredible energy. She talked about hopscotch. She talked about her teacher, who was usually very nice, but sometimes so impatient at the end of the day. She complained about her sisters not sharing their dolls, 2 women I had only known as elderly. She said she wanted to try playing marbles, but the boys would never let her. She sat up straight, and she grasped my hand tighter. "My name is Mary, but everyone calls me Dell. Do you want to be my friend? Do you want to come over today and play? I'll have to ask my mother, but she'll almost definitely say yes. She is so very nice." And the whole desert blossomed. Or at least it felt that way. My grandmother, who was lost to me for so many years, was presenting herself to me new. A gentle young soul who wanted to be my friend. With no notion of family obligation, she picked me. She saw something in me that called out kindred spirit. And she chose me. "Yes, yes, I would like to come over. Yes, I would very much like to be your friend." And I did so desperately want to be her friend, so desperately want a relationship with my adored grandmother who I thought was gone forever. Here's the thing. This is not a sermon about looking for the silver lining. This is not an every thorn has its rose kind of message. Dementia and Alzheimer's are awful. They are awful, horrible plagues on humanity. And when they are cured, please let it be soon. When they are cured, I will rejoice without ceasing. But this is a sermon about change, change we don't want, and how we cope when change is expanding into our lives in ways unwanted and unforeseen. When I was a kid, I went to church camp, and we were required to read the Bible for an hour every day before dinner. It was the worst. And if you skip all the Saul begets Isaac who begat David sections, you can get pretty far in the Bible in those couple of hours. The book that returned to me as I sat with my grandmother was Lamentations. Have you ever read Lamentations? It's definitely not in anyone's top 5, I would say. Not a popular book. Lamentations is a whole book of the Bible made up of ancient Jews writing ticked-off poems to God. It is a whole book of letters of complaint. See, the city of Jerusalem was taken over by Romans, and the Holy Temple was knocked over by battering rams and desecrated by partying heathens. The Jews were again second-class citizens in their own land, and they were out of control. This was a shock. The Israelites thought that they had a deal with God, that if they fulfilled their part of the covenant, they would have their own sovereign, safe nation. But then the Romans came, and all of that was blown away on the desert wind. Lamentations is a few hundred pages of angry verse. Hey, I thought we were cool, God, but apparently not. Seriously, what is going on? I thought we were doing what you wanted. Thanks for the warning. I really appreciate it. Did you forget about us completely? This is too much to bear. How could you let this happen to us? It sounded familiar to me. It still does. Because although I don't believe in the Hebrew Christian God, and I didn't at the time, my grandmother was suffering, I sure was shaking my fist at that God. I sure was writing my own letters of complaint. How could you do this? My grandmother went to church every week. She taught Sunday school. She was a good person. She follows you, and this is it? You curse her? Suffering without end? Where are you? I thought you were supposed to be here when we needed you. She believed her whole life, and now you're doing nothing. Thanks for a whole lot of nothing. Perhaps the best lesson I took from the whole Bible, as important as do unto others, and love with your whole heart, is it's okay to yell at God. Even if you don't believe in God or gods or the spirit of life or eternal love, whatever you want to call it, when despair fills your life, you don't need to worry about being theologically correct. You need to yell and complain and rage. Rage, because we hope that life will have meaning, and sometimes it doesn't, and rage is the healthiest response. So much healthier than bitter resignation, which I'm sure you've seen a lot of on memory care units. Scream at whatever deity you choose, but let it out. This isn't the time to parse doctrine. This isn't the time to wonder if you really believe in God or not. This goes much deeper and is much more primal than our takes on theology. Many of us were raised in Christian traditions, Catholic, Presbyterian, Baptist, whatever. The last thing we were encouraged to do was get ticked off at God. But Lamentations shows us that Jews and even early Christians were encouraged to let out their anger, to voice their displeasure. And whatever you believe about God now, if you find yourself angry, go ahead and lament. This isn't the time to worry about theological correctness. I raged for a good long while. It took a long time to wear down my anger, but when it was mostly expelled, I mourned. I mourned hard. This sounds cold, but I mourned my grandmother as if she was dead, because the grandmother I knew was dead. The grandmother who cracked jokes, who bargained for yard sale jewelry, who told each of her 15 grandchildren individually that they were her favorite, but not to tell because it would hurt someone's feelings. We didn't find that out until the funeral. She was gone. As my aunts had whispered after she wandered off, Mary was lost, and she was never, ever coming back. Sure, she was here in body, but so what? That wasn't the part we wanted. You may have heard me say this before, and I will certainly say it again. There's no way around grief. There is no bypass route around pain. You have to go straight through it. Any attempt to circumvent the pain just makes it worse. In a culture obsessed with feeling good every second of every day, even simple reflectiveness can feel off somehow, maybe self-indulgent. But feeling sad, even when you're not faced with tragedy, is normal and natural and so healthy. The Israelites had to feel intense grief before they could rebuild. They had to let sadness overtake them entirely. There was no way around it. The only path was straight through. Only after serious raging and mourning could I appreciate the moment when the desert bloomed. "Do you want to be my friend?" she said, and red and yellow broke through the browns and defiantly shook their fist at the sky. Mary was lost, but this new person, familiar yet unknown, she wanted to be in a relationship with me. She picked me. It's not like the grief ended. I still grieve nearly a decade after her death that she had to suffer for so long. What is that? But it's not a sadness I push away, just a familiar longing for a person that I loved deeply, that I was blessed enough to know in my time on this planet. It's not that the anger ended. I still ask the universe, what was that about? How could that even happen? But once I accepted that Mary was lost, that she wouldn't be back, I can embrace all the moments when she was new to me, splendid and completely unafraid. The Buddhists get the most credit for trumpeting impermanence, but really every religion tells the same tale. Enjoy the present, but don't grasp at it, because it's all temporary. This too shall pass. Good or bad, it's gonna pass. And if we're busy trying to hold tight to the past or trying to recreate a sweet old story, we'll miss when the new flowers defiantly grace the desert. Denying the sadness, pushing away the anger, will blind you to the new life taking shape from the ground. Mary, my wisecracking, bargain-hunting, always-loving grandmother, was gone. Lost. It was a tragedy of the hugest proportions that I had ever known. I couldn't push it away. But after I lamented, after I wept, a new Mary was before me, eager to know me in this moment, fresh as a desert bloom. Grandma said, "My name is Mary, but everyone calls me Del. Do you want to be my friend? Do you want to come over and play?" Yes. Absolutely yes. Even though it meant a final goodbye to my cherished grandmother, absolutely yes.